translation, and Prabhupada, by his divine grace, Sisi Bhakti Ananda Swami Srimati Prabhupada. Thereafter, at the end of Kali Yuga, when there exist no topics on the subject of God, even at the residence of so-called saints and respectable gentlemen of the three high castes, and when the power of government is transferred to the hands of ministers elected from the low-born sugar class or those less than them, and when nothing is known of the techniques of sacrifice, even by word, at that time the Lord will appear as the supreme chastiser. The symptoms of the worst conditions of the material world at the last stage of this age called Kali Yuga are stated herein. The sum and substance of such conditions is godliness, godlessness, godlessness. Even the so-called saints and higher castes of the social orders, generally known as the Vijayanas, or the thrice born, will become atheists. As such, all of them will practically forget even the holy name of the Lord and want to speak of his activities. The higher caste of society, namely the intelligent class of men, guiding the destinies of the social orders, the administrative class of men, guiding the law and order of society, and the productive class of men, guiding the economic development of the society, must all be properly well-versed in knowledge of the Supreme Lord, knowing factually his name, quality, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, personalities. The saints and the higher caste or orders of the society are judged by their portion of knowledge in the science of God, or tattva-jnana, and not by any kind of birthright or bodily designations. Such designations, without any knowledge of the science of God and practical knowledge of devotional service, are considered to be all decorations of dead bodies. And when there is too much inflation of those decorated dead bodies in society, there develop so many anomalies in the progressive, peaceful life of the human being. Because of the lack of training or culture in the upper section of the social orders, they are no more to be designated as Vijayanas or the twice born. The significance of being twice born has been explained in many places in these great literatures. And again, one is reminded herein with that birth executed by the sex life of the father and the mother is called animal birth. But such animal birth and the process of life and progress, but such animal birth and progress of life on the animal principles of eating, sleeping, fearing and mating without any scientific culture or spiritual life is called the Shudra life, or to be more explicit, the uncultured life of the lower class of men. It is stated herein that the government power of society in Kali Yuga will be passed over to the uncultured, godless laborer class of men, and thus the mridevas, or the ministers of the government, will be the vrishalas, or the uncultured lower class men of society. No one can expect any peace and prosperity in a human society full of uncultured lower classes of men. The symptoms of such uncultured social animals are already in vogue, and it is the duty of the leaders of men to take note of it and try to reform the social order by introducing the principles of twice born man, trained in the science of God consciousness. This can be done by expanding the culture of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. In the degraded condition of human society, the Lord incarnates as the Kalki avatar and kills all the demoniac without mercy. Thereafter, at the end of Kalyuga, when there exists no topics of the subject of God, even at the residences of so-called saints and respectable gentlemen of the three higher castes, and when the power of government is transferred to the hands of ministers elected from the low-born Shudra class or those less than them, and when nothing is known of the techniques of sacrifice even by one, at that time the Lord will appear as the supreme chastiser. So this is a verse which describes the last of the scheduled incarnations in Kali Yuga. That's the Kalkya Avatar. And here some of the symptoms are described, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, the symptoms of the worst conditions of the material world. This is the age of Kali Yuga, and we, although technically are in the beginning of Kali Yuga, we can see this already happening very much. So, the first, what is described is that in the places, in the homes of the saintly person, Satam, there is no Harikatha. And those who are saints, considered saints, Satam and Vijayana, those who are twice born, or the, those, as Prabhupada called them here, cultured gentlemen, there will be no Harikatha. So we see, Harikatha is missing even in so-called spiritual leaders, saints, gurus, all over the world. There are so many teachers and preachers of spirituality, but we hardly see that the center of their preaching and teachings is descriptions of God, direct descriptions of God, Harikatha. Katha means talk or narrations of the Supreme Lord. So Srila Prabhupada says in the Purport, but there is no, they've forgotten even the name of God, or to speak of His qualities and activities, etc. And there's so much hypocrisy and cheating. People present themselves as representatives of God, or sometimes they call themselves God. Nothing genuine about talk and description of the Supreme Lord. So this is so prevalent even now, and it will be more and more. And the other symptom described here is that those who will be Nirdeva, or the leaders, the political leaders of society, the kings or the ministers, they will be actually Vrishala. They will be low class persons. Prabhupada explains, they will be Shudras or even less. In other words, they will have no good qualities in terms of what's expected from such leaders. They will be interested in, that's described in other places in Shastra, and Srila Prabhupada many times discussed this topic, how people in general and society suffer so much in the present age because of unqualified leaders. I was just listening yesterday, I was traveling from India, one lecture by Srila Prabhupada given 50 years ago in Vrindavan, and the whole lecture he was stressing this point that it's impossible to have peace and prosperity in society if the leaders are demoniac materialists who are only interested in their profit in some way, gross or subtle, in their position of power. And he said, how is it possible that people will be, live happily? It's impossible. It's impossible. He was repeating that. It's impossible. People will suffer because of lack of such good leadership. And this is nothing to do with some specific culture, like Prabhupada uses here, castes, the higher castes, the lower castes. Oh, okay, this is about India who divides society. But no, Prabhupada here gives such a precise explanation that these leaders of society are actually the ones who are guiding in the different areas of society. They are guiding the people, they are influencing them. Whatever standard they set, people like to follow. For example, he says, those who guide the destiny of the society. This is the intellectuals. They set up the topics of philosophy and science, which gives the description of reality, what's the purpose of life. So this is the intellectual class. And now in Kali Yuga, of course, this changes. And there is no, especially, you know, since some decades, which is they call it the postmodern period, it's typical that it's absolute relativity of everything. There is no truth. There is no, anything can be truth. Especially in philosophy, that's a specific. It's so relative that how can you establish any kind of order and say, and claim that, yes, this is Dharma, this is universal law. There's no such thing. It's all relative. For someone is this, for someone is that. And also in science, the intellectual class, they put up theories which become mainstream. And it's been always like that. Or it's accepted as the mainstream. The mainstream explanation of reality. And this is given by Brahmanas, by those who have these qualities of leadership and giving guidance and leading society in that sense, in that area of here Prabhupada calls it destiny, yeah, in philosophy and science. And there's always been such a class of men, no matter how you call it. These are the people who establish these guiding principles. So when they are unqualified, when they are not real vijja jhanas, not really trained, as Prabhupada said, they are not trained and they lack of qualities, they establish standards which are actually confusing for people and they are degrading people. And especially this postmodern idea of relativity of everything, people become more and more confused and helpless and hopeless of everything. And then you have the administrative class in politics. There are also leaders who establish and guide society more and more than what's proper and what's not. And then you have the productive class or the economic leaders. And this is so obvious nowadays. You know, someone who is well established and leading in economics and well established businessman makes a comment about something, for example, the futures in cryptocurrencies. Everybody buys cryptocurrency, right? This is obvious that these are the leaders in economics. So this is the guiding principle they establish. And these are the leaders of society, and when they become degraded and they are just again interested in their own selfish goals, this is another symptom or they grossly exploit all the others, especially like the word here, the government ministers, the Rideva, they will be very low class, and they will be put in place by other low class people. That's the standard now in the world of democracy. In Prabhupada actually translates the verse like that, that lower and shorter class will elect ministers who are also low class, right? And also Prabhupada speaks a lot about that. That when people, that he says, you know, of course, there are statements where he says democracy means even crazy. But actually, in other places, Prabhupada says it's not a problem, the system. The problem is that people are not qualified. The masses of people, if they are trained, they will elect also cultural and high-minded people who can establish proper spiritual principles. And because people are lack these qualities, they elect people with low qualities, and then they complain, and then they elect another one, and another one. Always they complain, which is a typical also that type of low-class people, shooting mentality. They always complain and accuse others of their problems. And those who are on the top, they also misuse them, misuse that, and use all kinds of schemes for manipulating the minds of the masses. And we all know all kinds of scandals in that area, how they can manipulate the voting, etc. So anyway, these are the symptoms which Bhagavatam also simply gives and Prabhupada explains, and we are witnessing ourselves. And we can talk about that and give many examples of how Kali Yuga is advancing and how much people are suffering because of that. Even devotees, it's just like a madhouse. And what is the solution? We can't just complain, and Prabhupada, that's, he explains, this is the situation, and it can be, there is a remedy, it can be corrected. And that is by introducing this medicine in the society. This can be done by expanding the culture of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. So what does it mean, a culture of Srimad Bhagavatam? Anyone can interpret what Srimad Prabhupada says here. He uses it in other places also, of Bhagavatam, the culture of Bhagavatam, what it means practically for us. Yes?
I would say, living Bhagavatam, how to teach the book Bhagavatam to the public. Then we can learn the culture of Bhagavatam.
To introduce Bhagavatam in the public? Or the Bhagavatams, those who are living Bhagavatams?
They have to educate the public people in the book Bhagavatam.
Okay, to educate the people into the topics of Bhagavatam. Yes.
I think that was contained in Prabhupada's first statement in the statement of purpose of ISKCON to by a systematic process of education to correct the imbalance of values in society to create peace and tranquility. And that enables people to take the spiritual life that they can become peaceful, because no one has peaceful life.
And so here, culture of Bhagavatam is, after all, put it in the first aim, to systematically educate people into the values of Srimad Bhagavatam. So yes, it means introducing through education and culture these principles of Bhagavatam. And also, because culture, if you talk only on education, we can also say that it has to be applied. It cannot be just theoretical, right? So sometimes it is said that philosophy is the knowledge, is the understanding, but culture is the application. So culture actually is the philosophy lived, right? So education, especially in the Vedic terms, means something which is applied. Unless there is application, there is not much value in the educational process. So we have to educate or distribute that knowledge, but also apply it and live it, show it by example. And so that's a very important part of the culture, to show it, how practically this can be applied. And this is so important also in terms of our own society of devotees. Unless we live that culture of Bhagavatam, we live by these higher values, our teaching and preaching and education won't be effective, because it will be mismatch. People will hear some high talk and then we see something else in practice. So therefore it's very important that we live that culture and we develop these qualities, and they are perceivable qualities. So culture of Bhagavatam means to hear Bhagavatam and apply what we hear. And remember also, because Bhagavatam is in that genre of Vedic literature, Puranas, which transmits knowledge through stories. Therefore, Harikatha, stories, narrative about the Lord and about his devotees. So, and all they are very practical, and they can give us example how we actually can apply this knowledge in our life, how we can lead our devotees. And we see in the lives of devotees who go through all kinds of different situations where they show how to develop and maintain the love of God. Prabhupada said, according to one account, that in Srimad Bhagavatam we can see and we can hear. We see examples of all kinds of all existing different psychological situations, of instances which we can encounter in our life. In other words, we can see examples basically of everything if we hear patiently and attentively and think about deeply. We can see that all these stories of Bhagavatam, they are just not some remote and unrelated to us stories, but they are very much practical and applicable in our present situation. So this is an important part of the process of Bhakti Yoga. Actually, is the most important, as Srila Prabhupada explains in many places in Bhagavatam and in different also lectures. He explains that hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing in general, Shravana, is the most important process of developing Krishna consciousness, Bhakti Yoga. And as Bhagavatam itself says that in second canto, second chapter, 56th verse, that, well, a couple of verses before it says, Srila Goswami explains to Parikshit Maharaj that Bhakti Yoga can give the highest good for all humanity. So, through Bhakti Yoga, we can attain everything. And then he says, therefore, we have to hear, speak or chant, and remember the Supreme Lord, always and everywhere. So this is his conclusion. And Srila Prabhupada explains how we it's such an important statement that Srila Prabhupada makes. Tasmat sarvatmana rajan hari sarvatra sarvana shrutta vyakhyate tamyascha smritim kurvandam. O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about glorify and remember the Supreme Lord, the Serenity of God, always and everywhere. Prabhupada says, Shiva Shukra, the Goswami begins this verse with the word Tasmat, or therefore, because in the previous verses he has already explained that there is no auspicious means for salvation other than the sublime process of Bhakti Yoga. The Bhakti Yoga process is practiced by the devotees in different methods of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping, praying, rendering service in love, becoming friendly and offering all that one may possess. All blind methods are bona fide methods, and either all of them, some of them, or even one of them can bring about the desired result for the sincere devotee. But out of all the 9 different methods, the first one, namely hearing, is the most important function in the process of bhakti yoga. Most important function. Without hearing sufficiently and properly, no one can make any progress by any of the methods of practice. So this is a very strong statement. Without hearing sufficiently and properly, no one can make any progress by any of the methods of practice. And for hearing only, all the Vedic literatures are there, compiled by all first persons like Vyasadeva. And there are many other statements. Prabhupada says, for example, in room conversation with one Western influential person, he was asking, what does it, because Prabhupada was saying here, that's so essential for human society to become Krishna conscious. And that person asked, what does it mean going to the chapel? And Prabhupada said, that's fine, that's all right, but there are 9 methods, he says, but there are 9 different processes of which hearing of Krishna is the most important thing. And one extract of commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti to the second verse of Bhagavad, which also speaks about that, and Prabhupada makes that point also especially that the hearing or developing the culture of hearing, and then Vishwanath Chakravarti says, Krishna enters the hearts of even those who have suddenly developed the desire to hear from the moment they begin hearing. So Krishna enters the heart of those who desire to hear. Since they develop the desire to hear from that moment, even before having faith, it means they have developed prema simply by hearing Bhagavatam. Then how much more quickly they will develop prema if they begin hearing with faith. Because he's making a logical point that that verse says that Krishna becomes captured or becomes conquered by those who hear. And Vishwanath Chakravarti says Krishna can be only conquered by prema. Therefore, hearing directly brings prema. So, and then he brings other verses from the scriptures that say that hearing either attentively or even carelessly can bring results. So here he says that Krishna enters the heart even those who just have a desire to hear, or to speak of those who hear attentively with faith. So it's very, very important. And the last thing I would say, Srila Prabhupada in one lecture in Hawaii, as far as I remember, my personal cult of one of Prabhupada's disciples, Prabhupada said, if you hear one chapter of Bhagavatam per day, you go back to Godhead in this lifetime for sure, guaranteed. You just have to hear one chapter a day.
Bhagavatam.
And the devotee says, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. And Prabhupada says, will you do it? And they go, yes! So Prabhupada, If you just hear one chapter, that's sufficient. You don't need to do anything. You will go back. Will you do it? Yes, Prabhupada. So 3 times he did it. And the devotee was saying that. And everybody said, yes, Prabhupada. And the thing is that nobody did it. So we are unfortunate, that's what Mojibhanda speaks about. Do naivam. We don't have the attraction in that. So it's not cheap to hear Krishna Chakravarti. The book says, we just need that attraction. And Prabhupada explains in the purport for that, I think, one of those verses, I think in the second canto, which I quoted, that this is so essential, but unfortunately people do not desire. They want to hear all kinds of things, and use, in that time it says they use all kinds of technology and machinery to hear different topics. But when we invite them, please come and hear Bhagavatam, they suddenly become reluctant. That's our unfortunate situation, even within the devotee society. I remember a couple of years ago there was a survey among the leaders, you know, this they call it ISKCON Leadership Summit in Mayapur next year, it will be the next college. It was made a couple of years, every 2 years, a couple of times. And in one they made a survey among the participants, these are the leader of society, how often they read Prabhupada's books and how long. And what they have read. It was really not very encouraging. Many had not read, but these are leaders who were practiced some for decades. Many had not read the whole Bhagavatam, even more.
Leaders like temple presidents?
Yes. Yes, or not reading regularly, like that. So this culture of Bhagavatam is essential, and we have to introduce it among ourselves and promote the sect. Thank you for your attention. Any comments, questions, reflections?
Let's have another example. You were mentioning how Srila Prabhupada had said that, or you were saying how even if you read, I don't know if you said imperfectly or not really seriously trying to understand, to read. And there was one lecture where Srila Prabhupada was encouraging devotees to chant the Sanskrit mantras. And he said, you know, this is a spiritual sound vibration. Even if you don't understand the language, he said simply by vibrating that mantra you become purified. And then he said similarly the English, you read the translation and a purport, Prabhupada said that's a spiritual sound vibration, you become purified by reading it. And then Prabhupada said with great, great force, he said even if you don't understand the English, he said if you simply try to understand, he said Krishna will take you back to Godhead. So like you're saying, there's such immense potency in Prabhupada's book that we just remember and take advantage of it. Such awesome.
Thank you so much for this comment, because we can see some contradiction. Okay, it says just trying to hear, or even hearing not so attentively will bring the result, but at the same time, unless we hear with attention, there will be no answer. Okay, so what it is, but as we said, trying sincerely. Because the other point is, you can make it mechanical. The Prabhupada says, if you make it official, that's also what I read in our class, if you make it official and just hear as a kind of a routine, but it doesn't, but if you don't really understand that you sincerely try, that means your intention is there and your attention is there. If it's official and mechanical, then it will be very slow.
Prabhupada also commented once in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He quoted the recitation Satyatam Yupinam Bhajatam Priti Purakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayante, how Krishna gives the intelligence when we're devoted. And he commented that when devotees assemble together and they're attempting to discuss Krishna and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, he said even if they don't have realization, because in that Sangha they're making that attempt, he said Krishna will bless them with realization.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the class. So, you mentioned that prana is a way of capturing Krishna. Krishna's captured by prana. And I've heard this so many times, you know, capturing Krishna's heart. But I don't know if you can elaborate a little bit on it, because I don't think I sufficiently understand what that is, capturing Krishna. I mean, I love the topic, I relish it, I just love it.
It's a Bhagavatam statement which the unconquerable becomes conquered by those who have bhakti. Or Krishna becomes, captured or becomes, actually subservient, that's the word. Therefore, there's one argument of Rupa Goswami that that level of bhakti, prema, is not given by Krishna easily, because he becomes subservient to it. So that devotee has that prema. But it's easy to understand, because love is very attractive. That's the symptoms of bhakti or devotional service. Rupa Goswami explains the different symptoms, and the last one is Krishna Karshini. He becomes very attracted to this type of bhakti, which is from that level of love and prema. So love attracts, and love means pure love, spiritual or complete selfishness is very attractive, and Krishna is very attracted by that love of the devotee.
So Krishna doesn't give prema because he can be captured by it.
Interesting. Yes, that's what Rupa Goswami says. Or the commentaries, Jiva Goswami, Vishwana Chakravarti, in that verse of Bhakti Samhita Sindhu. That's one of the reasons why it is difficult. One of the reasons that Krishna makes it difficult. He doesn't give it like that. On the other side, we hear that, especially as Lord Chaitanya, he gives it very freely, indiscriminately, to everyone, whether qualified or unqualified, because of unlimited compassion.
Is that another contradiction?
Superficially. Otherwise, it's not. Because Krishna can do anything, and he's...
That's
one of his qualities. He's the greatest. He has the greatest compassion. So, he can give any... The most precious, the most secret, the greatest thing can give it to anyone, if he likes.
Yeah, I didn't need contradiction. Seeming contradiction.
Yes.
Seeming.
Yes.
You might want to
try. You have to speak louder anyway.
Yes. Hi, Krishna. My question is, why does the Lord instigate this age of Kali? Why is it like this? Because to reject reflection, it seems that if we don't hear Krishna Katha and keep this tradition and system of listening and chanting in our lifetime, then there wouldn't be people to pass this down to other people. Despite his mercy, even if you listen inattentively, you may still get liberated when you die, but that's of no use. You have died and nobody else has been given the benefit of actually using that method in their lifetime. But how is it that, I mean, anyone can answer, but like why is it so dark? I mean, what's the purpose of that for the development of mankind, for the general liberation of souls, you know, why is that happening? Does that make any sense?
Yes. Well, it's not that he instigates Kali Yuga, it's just the natural cycle of how things develop in the material world. You see, so there is the tendency of today to degrade in terms of consciousness, because that's the material world. It's influenced by the material modes, and with the progress of time, like Kali Yuga ends by the avatar, which we just said, the Kalki avatar, and then a new Satya will be. It's like a new beginning, and then everybody has all the qualities in Sattva-guna. And that goes for a long time. And they're all peaceful and they're all focused on self-realization and they get the result. But then, with time, the warlords start to become prominent, and then some bad qualities enter into human society and then it starts to degrade. But this takes a long time. And then more degradation and more. And another, when Kali Yuga is the last stage and becomes too much, when it becomes too degraded. And then as we read and hear in that verse, but in many other verses in Bhagavatam, it becomes so intolerable. It regrets that Krishna comes and resets it again. So you can ask then why he created the whole material world. If that's the question, well, that's to facilitate again the desires of certain enemies.
Yeah, well, I was Thank you so much. I was asking more like why this gradation of changes in the material world, like, you know, from Satya Yoga to Kali Yoga, there's such a difference in
the world. Well, we made it.
It says nothing moves, not even a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. So how is that?
Yes, because everything moves according to his law. So he made the law.
Okay.
Therefore, but he doesn't interfere with our free will, right? So we make a mess.
Okay. Yeah.
He's not guilty about the mess, but everything moves around. He sets up the rules. And we make a mess, and then we suffer out of it. He's not responsible. But still, everything moves according to his rules. Therefore, not even the blade of grass. It's not that he moves the blade of grass, or he moves all our things. We have our free will. But he gives the facilities and the system and the law of karma and everything, how it works. And it's for our benefit. Everything works for our benefit. It's supremely, supremely just how he puts it into place. So everything has a purpose, but we have to find it out by hearing about it.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, Coach. Okay, last.
Thank you for your civility class. Just on the same point, as you mentioned, Krishna facilitates our desires. So the thing is, if someone's got a really gross, really degraded desire, then Krishna gives independence. So he has to create a Kali Yuga where really horrible things happen to facilitate the desires of people who want to do these things. And at the same time, is Krishna's own purpose of creating this creation is to ultimately liberate everyone as well. So the two things are going side by side. So I think that would explain why someone wants to be a murderer, you know, you're gonna provide a playground for that to happen.
Right.
Well, there's a lot more to discuss about that in a few minutes. Because also, it's not just that simple, you know, I want to be a murderer, okay, here are a few people No, it's all according to the karma, you know, those who be killed, they killed others, and it all developed again, you know, through smaller steps of degradation. It suddenly flash of, I want to kill, and want to become a serial killer. It is something which developed, you know, through some scars and impressions, and you become really low and degraded. But, you know, in the whole universal, you know, plan of the Lord, even that degraded age has its place in terms of spiritual development in the Bhagavatam, is actually glorified. The sages say, well, that's the best time. And then it says, they must want to take birth in this age, because it's, yes, here, why exactly I will need it? To find out why the higher beings want to take birth this time, which is horrible, because of some special word it is described.
Kaler-dosha.
Kaler-dosha. It's an ocean of faults, an ocean of problems. There is one Mahaguna, one great fault, and that is
Kirtaniyateva Krishna.
Just by kirtan of Krishna, just by chanting Krishna's name, for our project, you can attain victory, the greatest thing, just by that, which is not available in other times. So therefore, they desire. You want to have some comment? Last comment? Okay. Yeah, I mean, if, I don't know. Is it
yes,
okay?
Yes.
35. I don't want to go over that. Yeah.
Everyone goes
no
back together.
And nobody remains here. That was the question brought by Lord Chaitanya. It was Vasudeva Datta, one of the greatest devotees of Lord Chaitanya. He said, I want everyone liberated, the whole universe. And I'll take their karma. or me, you just literally watch the camera and laugh and say, even if they go back home immediately, it will fill. And this universe is anyway just a small speck. It's a small a mustard seed in a bag of mustard seeds. In other words, it's material is eternal. So there are always souls with certain inclinations who want that facility. So it's there, but it's cyclical. It is manifested and it's within the body of Mahavishnu, and it manifests again and again and so on. So it's manifested for the time, and then the jewels who want their desires fulfilled in that environment, separate from God, but separate outwardly. Otherwise, Krishna is always with the jewels, even in the material world. Internally, as their heart companion, Paramatma, externally coming regularly, is what we read in this chapter, scheduled incarnations, coming again, we are helping them, sending the bodies and saints like that. So, there will be no such abundance. There will be no material, it's always there, that's what Chastra describes. But still, you know, by chanting, that's what described. Kali Yuga, if Prabhupada says, we want to bring peace in society and bring the people, and that's the golden or the part of the Kali Yuga, which is considered after Lord Chaitanya, Satya Yuga in Kali Yuga. And that will, again, we can ask, will that mean that all the people will become devotees? No, Prabhupada said just a few percent, but that's a lot. It just, from whole society, a few percent become Krishna consciousness.
If only 5% become.
Yeah, only if you, that would be a great impact. If you imagine 5% of all humanity are really into something, that becomes a trend. So when Krishna consciousness becomes a trend and a kind of cool thing, people like to wear tilak and chant and Bhagavatam, that's Prabhupada. That the whole society will change.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. Jai.